There's a lot of people out there still, Mary, who do not like the idea of automation. They go, I don't want it just to work. I want to have control over it. But you want control over it until something bad happens. And then you go, I wish I would have just trusted the pros to do it.
I'll agree to that. When we get involved in mortgage payoff fraud recovery or seller net fraud recovery, in almost every case, it was a breakdown of an operational procedure that wasn't executed to the fullest. And the problem is, Mary, and the audience needs to think about what I'm about to say. There is an inherent trust bias in the workflow.
Welcome back to Keys to Real Estate. Trust has always been the foundation of real estate transactions. Buyers trust sellers. Consumers trust professionals. Funds move because people believe they know who they're dealing with. But what happens when technology makes it harder to answer one basic question? Who am I really talking to? We choose to cover emerging fraud a lot here at October Research because you all are out there on the front lines fighting it every day, and we want to have your back. In today's episode, we're joined again by Certified's Tom Cronkite and CloseSimple's Bill Svoboda for a conversation about the changing nature of trust in real estate transactions. We discuss AI, identity verification, account takeover fraud, automation, and why some of the assumptions we've relied on for many years may no longer be enough. There are some new fraud showstoppers we're sorry to share with you in this one, but you won't want to miss it. This isn't just a conversation about fraud. It's a conversation about how our industry adapts when certainty becomes harder to find. So let's jump in. The presenting sponsor for this season of Keys to Real Estate is First American Trust. First American Trust redefines banking for title and escrow companies. They offer innovative solutions that integrate banking functions directly into title and escrow software systems, enhancing operational efficiency and safeguarding financial transactions. At First American Trust, you have direct access to a personal relationship manager who delivers answers in real time. First American Trust is also recognized as an elite provider for the American Land Title Association. As a wholly owned subsidiary of First American Financial Corporation, they have roots in real estate tracing back over 135 years and is the only bank owned by a title company. With deep roots, advanced solutions, and a commitment to real relationships, they are setting a new standard for the industry. The future of banking for title and escrow starts with First American Trust. Visit firstamtrust.com to learn more. Bill and Tom, welcome back to Keys to Real Estate. We have to talk about fraud today.
Thanks for having us back. This is awesome.
Thank you, Mary. It's exciting.
Tom, you've been doing especially a lot of great educating about fraud, including with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Their title working group listens to you a lot about fraud, which is great. But obviously, Bill, you do a lot in this space too. So I wanted to start by saying, why is education across our ecosystem so important, especially about fraud?
I think it starts with education. I'd mentioned to the NAIC commissioners that I think there's three types of agents. And there's the agent that is driven by optimism bias, where fraud is just not a thing that's going to hit their small community. It's an, I call it an NFL town issue. I know everybody and I'm kind of under the radar. I'm off their radar. It's not going to happen. And then you have on the other spectrum, the highly engaged, like, hey, I put in the work and this is part of our narrative. This is part of our brand. And we're going to go win on fraud prevention as part of the offering that we have in market. And then you have the agents in the middle that are just kind of thinking about, they're more aware of it, but they're kind of on the path. This is how I describe it. Every single title agent is going to take ultimately a vitamin, okay? And the vitamin is going to be the proper standard operating procedures, incident response plan, following the Alta pillars. They're going to use technology like Certified and CloseSimple to really move out of the view of the fraudster, the communication, and not be able to impersonate parties and divert funds. That's the vitamin. But the question is, do they need to take an aspirin before they buy the vitamin? Because you're going to end up with the vitamin. And I say that because when we have incident response at Certified through the Fraud Recovery Services team, that's the quickest path that we see from an agent that maybe heard about us, heard about CloseSimple. The underwriter reps have been talking about it for several years, and they sat in that first category of optimism bias. And then all of a sudden they go through an incident and this is priority one and there isn't a close second. So I think that's where education and awareness comes in to say, look, it's not your fault, but just acknowledge, be honest and brutally honest that it's something you're not going to be able to manage on your own because at scale, you're not going to be able to. So education is a huge component. With the regulators, it's just we've had to absorb a risk profile over the last 10 years that didn't exist. And it's not priced into the premium, and I can't price it into the closing fee.
Yeah, it's critical.
When I think about this, Mary, what the certified team has done with fraud prevention, so unique. They've tackled it in such a simple fashion. I view the way that they have tackled fraud prevention, you know exactly what certified stands for. They have the fraud recovery service afterwards. They've done such a great job. With Close Simple, what we've done is we've kind of worked our way into the fraud prevention a little different in terms of the customer experience, where we're trying to train the customer that you're going to get an email and a text from the title company. Here's the email, the text, here's the one portal to trust. Anything else could be fraudulent. And I'm very excited now to combine what Tom's team has built with just laser-focused fraud prevention into what we've built here with the customer experience to just create this thing that is literally like, here is your one platform. Trust this, don't trust anything else. And that's what I'm excited for. I want to say you invented fraud prevention, Tom, but you got hit by a case of fraud, and that's what got you onto this whole kick. It's really going to be interesting to see where fraud prevention goes over the next year, 2 years, especially with AI. I'm sure that's going to be in this, Mary. Where's AI going to touch on fraud?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Tom mentioned it. He said 10 years ago, it essentially wasn't a thing, or it was very specialized, very niche, that person signed as a husband or a wife and wasn't wearing a wedding ring. Maybe that was his girlfriend. Like, it was so not sophisticated, and people had to show up and face you and lie to your face and all of those things. And today, it's a business risk that every company has to manage. Every company has to manage. It makes people ask, are fraudsters getting smarter? Are they getting better tools? Both? All the above? What's going on?
Well, so if you look at our State of Wire Fraud Survey, if you look at the IC3 report from the Internet Crime Complaint Center, from the FBI, we hit two milestones this year in the most recent report. We crossed $10 billion in loss, and we crossed 1 million complaints. If you look at the stats on growth, real estate reported losses grew twice as fast as all overall complaints. So why is that? Are they getting faster? I think here's what they're getting. They're more educated. They know that real estate involves 6 to 8 people. The public records are easily available. The taxing authority records to get the actual address, seller impersonation, is right at their fingertips. And then now the immediate syndication of MLS data. When I speak, it's like, well, what other transaction can you identify the owner, the price, the representative, and it's happening in real time right now? And oh, by the way, you have 42 days to figure it out. You have 42 days to figure it out. It just, there's nothing like it. And on top of that, there's absolutely no muscle memory in the transaction for the buyer or the seller because it's either their first time or it's been a minute being like 8 to 10 years. And there's this over-reliance on the representatives, the professionals that are in the deals. So I think all of that combined now with the funding and its industrialized cybercrime. Mary, we're talking about transnationally organized groups that are harvesting generational wealth into these cyber camps and these military operated nation states where this is their economy. And it's not slowing down. The social engineering took a massive leap forward. It was like putting electricity into the house for the first time. When you think about AI, the voice replication, the deepfake replication, the combination of these tools. And Bill, you had mentioned it. The worst thing you can do is just gloss over wire fraud and think that the consumer is engaged or going to be able to prevent themselves. They need to know exactly how this is going to come in. We heard of a loss recently where a mortgage lender called a borrower. The borrower thought it was the mortgage lender it was speaking to in real time, and it was a real-time voiceover fake with a spoof number. They did the swapping of the phone number as well, so the inbound looked like it was coming from the mortgage broker, and redirected a cash-to-close wire after that phone call. We just have to think and say, hey, that just seems like a future state. That was 2 weeks ago. Where are we going to be in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years from now? Because these bad actors, as creative as what our collective teams have been at Certified and at Closed Simple, they have one thing in their workflow, Mary, and that's to iterate on social engineering. That's just the single thing in their workflow. And they have all day and all the funding and all the tools at their disposal to do that. And I'm an optimist. I wake up every day thinking today's going to be just a scotch better than the day before. You know what I mean?
I'm an optimist that worries a lot, though.
But you do. I call it a healthy sense of paranoia.
Yeah.
Around this issue that you have to have. So how do we reimagine for the industry without losing that texture, but even adding more texture, because we have to bring the consumer along in this journey, because we're uniquely positioned to say what we're asking for the EMD, we're asking for the cash to close, we're asking for the new loan proceeds, we're responsible for all the disbursement outbound. It's just a really unique position.
Less than a year ago, if, for example, my realtor would have said, hey, meet on this Zoom, I'm going to introduce you to your closer, we're going to talk so everybody knows each other and to try to close that fraud circle a little bit. Now, I don't know that the person on the screen is my closing agent at all. When you think about where all this is going, it is just like the AI fraud is so exotic and convincing that I love that you guys are bringing AI to the white hat side of the table and say, we're going to use our AI to fight your AI. And we've got to duke it out, right? I mean, the trust is, it's going to have to be validated different ways. And you have some paths for that, it sounds like.
We absolutely do. Bill, anything you want to add to that? It was a great question.
Yeah, one of the things that we've done at Closed Simple over the last 2 years that has been just incredible and catching fraudsters, the most powerful thing we've done is actually utilizing identity verification passively at the start of the transaction. And again, you've heard me say this maybe in our first interview, that word automated. If there's one thing about Closed Simple that Nate, our head of product, and our entire team have really worked on is the automation. We do not want a title agent to have to click a button or switch a screen to activate a fraud prevention software or to do a thing. We have identified fraudsters passively within the first 8 seconds of them starting the file on their software. Pro, Resware, Settler. And then once we actually know they're a fraudster, then asking them to do the identity verification. And lo and behold, you know what happens? They either don't do it or they fail. They double fail. And what I love about that, again, that word automation, it's one of the most powerful words that we in this industry should be using more and more and more. It needs to be automated. Your fraud prevention can't be left up to the closer, the processor, to go, okay, I'm going to click the button. I'm going to switch the screen. I'm going to choose to do it on this file. I hear about week after week, somebody who has a program that's great and their person in the desk decides not to click a button. For whatever reason, and then fraud happens. That right there is probably the saddest story in title and escrow when you leave it up to the person to go, I know this. Tom, you said the NFL town, everybody knows each other kind of thing. Like that's the one where the person goes, I don't need to click the button. No. Automate your fraud prevention. That right there has been our secret weapon. And Tom, what I love too, when you all were doing your due diligence on Closed Simple, I heard that you did your fraud prevention recovery service. You actually looked at, have we had any Closed Simple incidences of fraud? Like has Closed Simple, like any of these title companies has Closed Simple? Zero. And we love that because again, our team, we are 100% dedicated to automation at the start of the file. Not waiting till close to closing to do the ID verification and everything. So
I remember showing that at large agent, and then it was like that video of the person in the living room. Because I walked out of there. I said, Tyler, they're onto something here, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, we have a video, Mary, of a fraudster that we caught on video. Like I said, within 8 seconds, we know, is this person a fraudster or a high potential of it? And then we ask for the ID verification. And one of those things then is, we need the liveness test, similar to how you open up your iPhone with your face. Mm-hmm. And this fraudster out of Atlanta, I forget if it was $285,000 or $385,000. They were really bold and they thought they could spoof our ID verification by taking their phone and turning it to the computer to have a video of a guy that looked like the guy on the fake ID they uploaded. And I mean, we pinged them 8 seconds into the file. We pinged them with the fake ID. And then once our AI read that video, I mean, it was laughable. The title company, our customer called us because they were brand new on Close Simple. And they go, hey, we have this fraudulent file. It said like it can't go through. Like, what's up with this? And we said, hey, have you watched the video? Like, go in. Watch the video.
See what's going on.
They watched the video and they're like, oh gosh.
And the answer came off and
it was
the fraudster.
Wild. Yeah. It was wild. And that one, we've shown it. But I always joke when we show this, I'm like, we talk about fraud. How many of us have ever seen an actual fraudster caught on video? And this is one of the first I've ever seen. It's wild. And very exciting.
All right. Tell me one more jaw-dropping one you've seen recently, because it is evolving. And I think we can't tell enough stories about this, but we don't have all week. We could talk about them all week, but is there another jaw dropper that you saw recently that we need to get the word out to agents about?
One of the things that we're seeing in fraud recovery services is account takeover fraud. So this is where they're going after the escrow account. So how this works, and this is growing, I can't share figures, but I don't think we've taken on in what they call an ATO, account takeover case, that was sub-1.5 million. These are huge numbers. And the sophistication, so what happens is they typically have a username and password for online banking already, maybe through the dark web, or they have phished for months and they have the combination, but they need that one-time code. They need that token to get into that last yard of defense into the bank that holds the escrow, the IOLTA, that treasury platform, essentially at the bank, not the title productions. This is at the bank.
Okay. Yeah.
So then the fraud desk calls, I'll put fraud desk in quotes. So fraudster impersonated the fraud desk, and they're now calling because they compromised an email on a recently closed and funded transaction. Very effective. Hey, I saw that you're trying to pay off X and the payoff was released. They're just guessing, right? They wait a couple days after closing. They initiate that payoff, and we have a problem with that payoff. And I'm calling from the fraud desk of XYZ Bank. If you could go ahead and go into your login portal, I got to confirm it's you. So if you could just put in your username and password, and then if you select that token, I need you to read that token because I can see what it is, but I can't give that to you right now. Right. And then they have it set up on another screen. And the minute they have it, they change the settings. Right. And then they're literally draining accounts in a matter of hours into 20, 50, 80 different institutions, millions of dollars. So I that's all I can say right now. But
that's a jaw dropper for sure.
The challenge is that our pipeline right now for fraud recovery services is consistently tracking down an ATO fraud. And this is, Mary, this is the one that'll keep you up at night.
Yeah, that's it.
And this is the one, every time one comes in, I walk to the other side of my wall here and I say to my business partner, Lawrence, who's also a co-founder, say, okay, another ATO came in, 1.7 million, 3.2 million. 6.7 million a few weeks ago. These are huge numbers. And they're literally just pulling all the money out of escrow. That's the jaw dropper. That's the, hold on a second, what did you just say? And even law enforcement, as we have worked these with our relationship with U.S. Secret Services, JIOC out of D.C., they're even admitting, like, we haven't seen this level of sophistication. Like, everything is precisely planned. You can't move that much money across that many institutions without using technology itself to even to move the money. So that's the, and Bill, you might have another one, but that is the jaw, like slam on the brakes and let's have an honest conversation about your internal procedures. And there's another thing that you can do at the bank, just as we're on this, is call your bank. If you're listening to this, set down with your banker and set velocity and usage limits, because at some point, if your average daily movement is 250, 800,000, some number, and it goes above that, at least you can put a firewall or a pressure valve in there that goes off and says, okay, no more. Like, you hit it for the day. And hey, if that costs you per diem on a busy Friday, guys, okay. pay the per diem. Okay. I'm just saying that because if it's running that fast, it's all running. That's what we've seen. They don't leave a dime. It's right. all running out. So that's literally dealing with one right now. That's why it's top of mind. It's just a horrific set of facts that we're dealing with.
I'll throw one out. And this is something that's brand new, and it might not affect everybody on this call, on just listening to this podcast, but it's affecting the referral sources of everyone on this podcast. One of the hottest things right now for real estate agents is scammers are actually sending them a Zoom link. And they say, hey, I got to hop on quick and I want to talk about this property. And this email will come out of the blue. And what realtor does not want to get a great listing? You're going to hop on that Zoom because it's, hey, I'm ready to list my property. I want to show it to you or fill in the blank. So what does that realtor do? They click the Zoom link. It opens up another browser, and right there, the hacker is in their computer. They've downloaded the software, and now it's malware and just takes over their entire thing. It's going across brokerages in the country. I became aware of it because a few weeks ago, I like following a lot of realtors on social. And one of my realtor buddies, he runs a huge team, about 150, 250 people. That's a pretty nice team, Tom, wouldn't you say? You want those referrals.
Big team.
And this was his big thing right now. Do not click the Zoom link. I mean, how crazy is that where it's don't click a Zoom link? So what does that mean for us even? That hasn't hit title. I was talking to another realtor friend of mine and I said, hey, have you heard of this thing? And they're like, nope, haven't heard of it. It boggles my mind how little realtors know about fraud. And now that it's starting to hit them and it can take over their entire system, this is scary.
Yeah, it is. It is very much. Well, and I wanted to come back around a little bit on the vigilance and the rethinking trust aspect of this conversation. We had Eva Velasquez on a few weeks ago from the Identity Theft Resource Center. And she talked about, honestly, some things that you guys probably think about a lot I had not thought about before. She talked about the fatigue that comes from the constant vigilance from teams in especially settlement escrow. She talked about the emotions of a company employee if their deal gets caught in a fraud, like sort of the outflow of that. And then she talked about getting a SWAT team, a consumer protection recovery SWAT team around your fraud victims, your consumers, while you work the try to get the recovery, while you're kind of doing the operational things to get somebody around the consumer side of it, shutting down everything else, doing any repair they can do. And I just thought that was such a great set of lenses to look at some of this through that, again, I'm sure is a space you guys think about a lot and live in, but had literally never crossed my mind.
Yeah, everything she said was true. You have an incident, you first try to track down the money, but you don't realize that either somebody was exposed. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, they might have access. They must have access to an email somewhere, right?
And somebody's.
The way I describe wire fraud is that, yeah, you can prosecute it as a federal act, right? Mm-hmm. There's a wire fraud in the U.S. code, as in the penal code. But I would argue that the crime is actually the social engineering, the aggravated identity theft, and they're just monetizing it through a wire transfer. So all of this activity that's fraudulent criminal activity has happened up funnel. And now they're just getting paid for what was probably months or weeks or at least days worth of intentional work to get access to the account, to take over that account, to change the settings, to filter, and then to ultimately assimilate the best attack email and concoct the best story to disarm the individual. And I'm with you, especially with the title agent. If you've gone through an incident, the percentage likelihood for you to get retargeted after you have lost funds is incredibly high. They just keep coming back to the same well. Vulnerability. We've had escrow officers individually retargeted multiple different times at the same brand. When they find out a mortgage payoff is gone, they look back into their pipeline. It's the third one. The third one by the same escrow officer. I mean, and you do have to do a post-mortem. You have to do a post-incident audit in response. You got to probably might have to grab that big power cut off and wind the whole thing down and then see what the extent of it is. The consumers, unfortunately, are really exposed. We could have a whole nother segment on online dating scam victims that turn into listing, that turn into monetizing, and essentially becoming homeless because the house was the house was really the target. And they thought they were in a relationship with somebody that loved and cared for them, and they were just out to scam them the whole time.
Unbelievable. All right, I've got just a couple more because I know I could talk with you all day, but I'm going
all day, Mary. We're just getting warm. Bill and I are just getting warmed up here.
I love it. If every title settlement agent could do one thing differently next week to improve their fraud posture, what would you recommend?
You would turn on multi-factor authentication into every platform that you use personally or professionally. That's the one thing that I would do. The close second is to have an incident response, because before you adopt all the layers you're going to need, you're likely going to be responding to an incident. So if there's one setting change, and these are free setting changes, but if you weren't going to do anything, develop an incident response plan and assign the responsibilities, because that's what you need to do to mitigate what will likely be a loss right around the corner. There's just so much of it right now. And I hate to say that.
No.
Right. But that's the one tactical thing I do programmatically, harden those accounts and the communications, at least by turning multi-factor on. You know, you can geofence any type of authentication app. So Microsoft Authenticator, guys, you can put a setting in there that says if the device is coming from overseas, they don't get the code. That's just really simple. Right. And it's free.
Yep.
I mean, because most of these bad actors, we get signals. We have some very intelligent signals. And what we see is the initial activity starts from overseas. And then once they see the money's going to move, they activate the domestic money muling network. And it's just that motion back and forth. So, mm-hmm. Bill, what do you got? Those are the two I'd have.
Those are good.
Number one, get a demo of Certified or Closed Simple right now. And eventually you're going to get one demo and we're going to cover it all. But get a demo of Certified, get a demo of Closed Simple. See which one fits you a little better for the size of your agency, how complicated of a title production software configuration you have. That's number one. That's an easy, that's my sell. But I think one of the easiest things, I'll go back to the real estate agent, because I think we often forget about the real estate agent, like what their involvement is. Your next talk that you do with a realtor, your next seminar you do, your next lunch and learn, whatever it is, the next realtor you have a great referral source with, that you have a good conversation, ask them to change their password. Like, see if they could actually just update their password. I know the two-factor authentication, but do they update their password on a regular basis even? Like, when's the last time? Are they still using the one from high school when they first joined their brokerage, what it is? Because I think that's one of the easiest low-hanging fruits to just go in, change your password. Can you do me a favor and just change your password? I don't want you to get hacked. And there's your, it's a simple ask, and maybe it's so elementary, but I don't want your business to come under scrutiny. I don't want you to lose deals. I don't want you fill in the blank. Change your password. Just that simple ask could save a lot of hassle.
Well, and also when you're out educating those realtors, and this was some advice that Eva had, which I thought was also great. And Tom, you touched on it earlier. Tell them we are going to insert friction into the process intentionally, and we will not... What was your phrase, Tom?
Unapologetically secure.
Secure. And tell them we're going to be doing it. Here's why. And nobody needs to sign a contract on Wednesday morning and close on Wednesday afternoon. Like, nobody. Like, we're going to be counseling along the way. And I do like the unapologetic part, because in title settlement, we tend to be pretty apologetic. We tend to be very sorry for the protections that we are placing over people, and we really have to stop that. Finally,
yeah, I like to say, and I'll start my lunch and learns, or my number one requested lunch and learn in market is email and app security. And it's exactly what you're saying, Bill.
Yep.
Bring your devices. We're going to start to see if your email is currently compromised. And guess what? We've seen them. Hey, I have a login from Cambodia. What does that mean? That's bad. Let's walk through how to, right? So, but I start by saying everything is fine until it's not. Like, there's no middle ground on this right now. It's like your transaction's safe or it's exposed. There's no middle ground. It's not more risky. Yeah, in title, we have weights and measures around risk. Is this a big deal or a little deal, right? Am I missing a little bit in taxes? Do I have a special that wasn't recorded? Do I have a short payoff? Those things. Mary, what's interesting, if you ask most title agents, honestly, what's keeping them up at night, it's not title standard stuff anymore. It's not. It's exactly what Bill and I are talking about.
It is.
That's what I say. It's fine until it's not. And it's a black or white world right now. And we're just trying to illuminate this idea that how can we get more white? How do we have more of a safe, happy path of a transaction? And I love what you said. We're not going to apologize that, but it's going to feel different. Look at what you introduced to Market Bill that paved the way for us to introduce this idea that a title company could go direct to consumer and have the consumer engage with a title provider. We come along and say, but for the first time, you're going to have to validate your identity. You're going to have to answer some questions. Well, what am I doing? Like, I only do that with banks. I only do that when I'm trying to buy a car, right? Why am I doing that here?
Anytime there's a whole lot of money involved.
Anytime there's a whole lot of money involved. And then we add insurance to it. What do you mean? We were the first company to introduce with our partners in London this idea that you could even insure the transfer of money. It literally hadn't been done before. You could insure a plane ticket. I could insure a drill at Home Depot, but I can't insure the pathway of my life savings. So there's a lot of it there, but yeah, I agree with you. Friction isn't bad because guess what? That's what I say. When it's not fine, that small 60 seconds of friction that we could have introduced to snuff this thing out at the beginning is going to pale to comparison for the multiple year wake that we're going to do cleaning up this mess, brand reputation, and litigation that follows. So.
Yeah. Well, I did want to ask you both to just kind of land our planes, but your companies, you interact with the aftermath of incidents as well as plenty of preventative efforts. And so when you look across different agencies and organizations, what's the difference between the ones that recover well and versus the ones that struggle? What's the difference?
Time. It's just time. Yep.
Time to react? Reaction time?
Time to react. Those that have an incident response plan, those that know to reach out to their underwriter, know that to reach out. I mean, certified has, again, I wish we didn't have to have it, but we have the best fraud recovery team in the country, hard stop. They're just, in law enforcement backs that up. The years that we have spent curating how we ingest the information, the intelligence that's shared, the speed at which it's shared, but I think it's speed and it's transparency. And unfortunately, time matters. If you're outside of 2 or 3 days right now, Mary, where funds have transferred, the likelihood goes down exponentially. It's not linear. It's not 90%, 80%. It's 75 to 80% to 20%. And then quickly down to there's probably nothing left. So it's a reaction time. Yep.
That's a pretty good ratio, though, in the first 24 hours.
It's a good ratio because the reason why it's good, I believe, is there's so many accounts where the money mule is a victim themselves. So we call it the pro or the non-complicit.
Yeah.
And it's the non-complicit, and that just takes a second, right? We could do a whole nother talk on what I've learned on just my interactions with these non-complicit money mules, we can say, but they're actually victims themselves.
They're unwitting, yeah.
Yeah, they're unwitting, right? That's the technical term. You're exactly right. And it just takes a minute to get the unwitting to move to a crypto wallet or to a Tumblr or to, what do you mean? I'm working. Oh, I got to go get a bunch of certified checks tonight. Why are you asking for gift cards, but you don't want me to send you? You just want the actual like number and PIN. So that's what we've seen.
I see. I'm sorry, Bill. I just needed to tease out a little bit further. Go ahead.
No, I mean, Tom, I'm small in my knowledge of fraud compared to Tom. Like, you can sit and listen to his stories and like what he's seen. Like, it's beyond what I know. I love listening to him. I was going to take it in a little different direction on the front end. The characteristic of the person, the decision maker, I think that's not falling victim to fraud is the person who's hungry, looking for solutions and trying to actively actually learn. We love working with title professionals, the owners, the decision makers that are actively trying to build their business around systems and automation. And I think the more our industry can move from the manual process to systems and automation, I think the better this industry is going to be. Because again, I've said this a couple times in this, the less the title professional has to think about how they are doing anything related to fraud prevention or fill in the blank, a process of the closing, the more they can focus on the customer and the less fraud has a chance to sneak in, because now we've just automated the most important things. That's where I look at it. And fortunately, our customers, we've loved to work with people who think systems and embrace automation. There's a lot of people out there still, Mary, who do not like the idea of automation. Freaks them out because they go, I don't want it just to work. I want to have control over it. But you want control over it until something bad happens. And then you go, I wish I would have just trusted the pros to do it. And that right there, I think, is the number one trait of the person that I see that's avoiding fraud, because they're leaning into not just tech, but the automation of the tech. So they don't have to think. They're not relying on a processor, a closer, escrow officer to, I've said it before, click the button, switch screens to go to that file to do that. I don't want to think about somebody on my team having a migraine one day and not remembering to do something, or their kids are stressed. I don't want to think about their mind somewhere else. It's just, we need to get to the stance of our industry is protected, not trying to protect itself. And I think, Tom, what we're building here together, doing this, it's going to be protected, not trying to protect in the future. And I think that's going to be a big shift, proactive, to benefit not just title agents, but the consumer and the realtors. And someday, maybe fraud isn't going to be the hot button topic. Maybe we're going to be talking about something more fun.
I'll agree to that and echo that, because when we get involved in mortgage payoff fraud recovery or seller net fraud recovery, in almost every case, it was a breakdown of an operational procedure that wasn't executed to the fullest. And the problem is, Mary, and the audience needs to think about what I'm about to say. There is an inherent trust bias in the workflow. So if I have a title clearance team that gets the borrower off in the initial mortgage payoff, and I don't know about the other industry, but at Sun Title here, half of our payoffs get updated because we blow through the initial good-through date. And then all of a sudden, a new one shows up. So I've got a record that, hey, John looked at this earlier and now I got an updated, but they're not seeing that that was also validated. They're not questioning, like, it has to be a zero trust environment internally as much as it is externally. And that trust bias, unfortunately, overrides standard operating procedure, because they're like, well, I saw that John verified it, but he didn't verify the new one. And then sometimes the way they come in, it's like, it's logging all the emails. So I have five different of the same record of the payoff that's up. So it's just think about it clinically. If there's anything you can do other than payoff protect, which we've got this thing sewed up on the payoff side, but it's just, there's a lot of bias and there's a lot of ways that the fraudsters can sneak in because they know that there's multiple cooks in this kitchen. And you're right, Bill, automate it. Like, pencils down, automate this thing. Every single time.
It is exciting because, again, two of the more difficult challenges title and settlement has had is consumer engagement and fighting fraud. And the fact that you guys are joining forces to help on both of those fronts is very encouraging. And so I know everyone will be watching you closely and rooting for you, especially as we really have to work so much closer in concert together to handle this new wave of fraud, because the jaws will continue to drop and the accounts will continue to get cleared out. So thank you both for your attention to it. Thank you for the vigilance. And we hope this episode has helped people from getting a hard hit.
No, thank you for having us on. Thank you for just highlighting this again. You guys have done such a good job at October Research of just repurposing and just refreshing this conversation. So I can tell you from my perspective, it means a lot. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Well, thanks again to Tom and Bill for joining us. You know, one theme kept surfacing throughout this conversation, that trust can no longer be assumed. It has to be verified. Whether we're talking about identity, communications, accounts, security, the movement of funds, the organizations that succeed will be the ones that build protection into the process rather than relying on people to catch every threat manually. The good news is that innovation is happening just as quickly on the defensive side. New tools, new approaches, new partnerships are helping title and settlement professionals stay ahead of increasingly sophisticated attacks. As Tom said during our conversation, everything's fine until it's not. The challenge for all of us is making sure that we're prepared long before that moment arrives. Thanks for joining us at Keys to Real Estate by October Research, where knowledge, especially about fighting fraud, is the competitive advantage.